Hey man, beautiful Sunday school lesson. Truly enjoyed listening in this morning. We could probably go another hour and just talk and discuss and share so much in that Sunday school lesson that just was really hitting and touching my heart so much. Everything that was brought up from everybody that chimed in and provided some deeper context to the lesson and the scriptures that were read out this morning. Just truly enjoyed that Sunday school lesson and enjoyed everyone's comment. Such a theme that continues to arise, and I don't even have a Sunday school book in front of me at this moment, but we see so much of God providing prophets to warn and direct his people, and I think the word judgment was brought up. God, used Jeremiah to call the people to repentance, to try to change their ways. We see the mercy of God in the midst of all the stuff that was done wrong. And if we put it in the context of today with ourselves and all the wrong we've done, if we had been held to the table, all the stuff that we've done wrong, and to say God's mercy, God's grace continues to shine a light so that we can just move forward in this world and the things that we come up against. I think y'all were talking about the Sister Kimberly brought up how, you know, the sin in the world's way is such a broad path to follow. If you get yourself caught up in that way of living, and it is truly a narrower path to choose God's way, and it's a more disciplined path that you have to follow, and it's a reliance on God to follow it. So it's like it's something you can't do within yourself. And I think Sister Kimmy brought up when she was talking about why do people just do wrong. One, I think Sister Sandra said it's fun. Sin can be fun if you are in that mindset. But it also doesn't take anything to do wrong. You know, you don't need to have discipline to do wrong because it's a natural fleshly instinct. And it has no reliance on God. To do right, you have to rely on God. You have to have some sense of righteousness inside of you to do right. So even the people that don't know God and do good, it is the God in them that's helping them do that. They just hadn't come to that revelation yet. But to do good, and I think Sister Kimberly also talked about, you know, you have to know this word. Sister Sandra talked about having it on the tablet of your heart. You get it on the tablet of your heart by Bible school and Sunday school and reading and studying the word to get it on the tablet of your heart so you can run this race and run it well when you are brought to the task or brought to the table of having to choose to do what God would have you to do. And truly enjoyed that Sunday school lesson. I think there's just so much context that we could kind of continue to talk about. So thank you. Thank you, Sister Kimberly, and thank you, everybody who participated and joined in. I'll do my best to try to keep that train moving as we go into the message today. And I want to tie in a little bit with the Sunday school lesson and really what God is calling us to do and to be. You know, where he was calling his people back then, what Jeremiah was trying to get them is to do right, to not just live any kind of way you want to live, but follow God's way. You know, he has set forth how he wanted them to live, and everyone was just kind of doing what they wanted to do. And Jeremiah was trying to warn them, if you continue this path, you keep doing wrong, it's going to catch up with you, and you're not going to have the life that God would have for you. Because there's, while sin can seem to be, in the moment, fun, it causes so much destruction, and there's so much unfulfillment in filling yourself with things in the world, you know. So the true contentment, the true joy, the genuineness of God is really only received in doing His will. That's the only way you really have real joy. When you get your way and you know it, you didn't deserve to get your way, you don't feel really good about it because you know it wasn't right. You did something evil or corrupt to get to wherever you are. But when you know you did things that are pleasing to God, you have a sense of joy, and it's the kind of joy that passes all understanding, because sometimes people don't even acknowledge it or recognize it. But you know that God is satisfied and happy with you, and that has to mean more to you than any kind of accolade or achievement or award or award that the world could give you. You know, pleasing God has to be paramount in everything in your life. You know what? When you lay your head down at night, I please God today. I know that. There might have been some people that didn't appreciate or didn't like what I did or said, but I can sleep easy tonight because you know what? I know my Father in heaven is proud of the way I conducted myself and the way I represented Him in His Son, Jesus Christ, today. You know, that has to be the thing that continues to guide us. So that's just about, you know, making every effort, giving our best, doing our best. And that's what I'm going to get into with this message today, of doing your best and giving your best in the context of just doing everything that you can. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for this blessed day. Thank you, Father God, for this time and opportunity to just hear from you, hear from your word, Father God. Help us, Father God, to be obedient to the calling that you've placed on our hearts, in our minds, individually and collectively, Father God, as a church body. Help us to be obedient to your word. Help us, Father God, to do what is pleasing in your sight. Help us, Father God, to rely completely on you for all of that we do, for the direction that we take in life, for the steps and measures that we take. Help us to be a witness to those that are lost, those that don't know you. Help, Father God, help the light that is in us of Jesus Christ shine, that people would see you in us and want to establish their own intimate relationship with you and establish that journey of doing your will as opposed to their own. Father God, as I bring this message today, none of me and all of you, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my Lord and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, I was looking over some scriptures, and I've given a message before about, like, making every effort, doing the best you can. And I want to tie in a little more of the importance of doing our best and giving our best to God. He gave His Son to us, His very best to us, that we might have a life and have it more abundantly. He showed us the way how to conduct ourselves in this world that might trash you, insult you, do all kind of things against you. But He continued to show love unconditionally to a world that didn't love Him back. So for us, is that Christ being our example, we're not nearly going to take the level of abuse and insult that He received, but we can use Him as an example to say, you know what? If Jesus gave His all for me, at the very least, I can give my all for Him. So I'm going to go through this life doing my best, giving my best. And I want to preface that Romans 8, I always kind of come back to that Romans 8 talks about there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And the reason why I highlight that verse is because sometimes when you're doing your best and you're giving your best, you might fall. You might come up short. You might fail sometimes. But God wants you to pick yourself up, keep going, and keep, you know, doing the best you can, because the enemy would try to keep you in that place where you slipped up, you failed, you no good, and you totally turn away, and you were on your way, you were doing good, but when you fall, the enemy would try to make you feel like, oh, well, you might as well just give up, you know, just cave in, just quit. And that's why that Galatians 6, 9, and 10 rings so true to me when I talk about let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of doing what's right. You know, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. So if you don't give up, cave in and quit, just keep going. Don't give up. That your due season will come. And as you have opportunity, as God brings opportunities to you, do good to all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. So it's so important to make every effort to do your best and give your best to do good. And it says you will reap from all the good seeds that you've sown. It's important part to that every opportunity that God gives you to just put forth your best effort to do the best you can and to do what's right. Amen. So I want to point out a few scriptures that talk about doing your best, giving your best, making every effort. Luke 13 and 23. We'll start there. I think I have four scriptures, so I can give you all those. Luke 13, 23 and through 25. We'll look at Romans 14, 13 through 19. And then we'll go down to Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, and we'll close out in 2 Peter, verse 1, 5 through 11, and 2 Peter 3, 13 through 15 is our main text that we'll look at today. So 2 Peter 13, 15 we'll close out with. And this is just about doing your best and giving, making every effort to do your best and give your best. So we look at that, that Luke 13, start picking up in verse 23. It says, someone asked him in verse 23, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? And he says to them, Jesus says to them, verse 24, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. That's what we talked about in Sunday school. We talked about in Sunday school, don't go along with the crowd. Don't do what the world is doing. Make every effort. That means do your best, give your best to enter through the narrow door. Travel the road less traveled, because that's going to be the road that leads to me, and that's going to be the road that leads to righteousness. So it says, enter that door. Go through that door. Do everything you can to enter that door. And it goes on, because many, I tell you, many. It didn't say a few. It says, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. So you say, Minister Torrance, okay, why did they're trying to? Why didn't they get? Why weren't they able to? And he explains the reason why. Verse 25, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, and that's that opportunity, I think Sister Alicia brought up when people were talking about being saved and accepting Jesus, and thinking, okay, well, we'll push y'all over to next week, or we'll get to, no, you need to do it today. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. Be baptized today. Don't wait, because when that door is closed, it's closed. And it says, when he closes the door, many will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he gives people an opportunity to accept him and accept his son, but they denied him. They went away. They went to be like what Jeremiah was warning the people, like, y'all need to get y'all's life right today. Don't keep just putting it off, and don't keep just doing things your own way. That door will close one day. You don't ever know when your last breath will be taken. So you make sure that you're putting forth every effort. And it says, but he will answer them, I do not know you, or where you come from. And why doesn't he know you? Because you did not spend time with him, communing with him, accepting him and his principles and his ways. Bible study, Sunday school, understanding, like, you know what, I need to spend time with Jesus to know who Jesus really is. Not who the world tells me he is, not who pastor tells me he is. I need to know him for myself. And so you need to spend time with him and in the word so that the Holy Spirit can minister to you to tell you what you need to do. Now, God gives different gifts to different people. I'm not a prophet. I'm not going to look at you and start reading your thoughts and mind. It's like, I can see. But God, the Holy Spirit, will always minister to you and guide you. But you have to spend time with him to understand the difference between his voice and the voice of the enemy, who's also present trying to lead you the other way. Because he'll redirect you and confuse you and take verses. He did that with Jesus. Take things out of context and say, well, did he say this? No, he said that. But what did he mean when he said it? That's what comes with spending time with God, spending time in his word, so the Holy Spirit can minister to you so you can get true understanding. So with all you're getting, get understanding. Amen. So let's turn over to Romans 14 and go through a few verses here about what that means to make every effort or to do your best and to give your best. Amen. So we've been told to make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Now we're going to look at making every effort to do what leads to peace and to love. Amen. So Romans 14, picking up in verse 13, says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. And there we go again, church, how I'm tied this in. I talk about all the time about it is so critical to understand that there's only one righteous judge. And so many people in this world want to sit in that seat. Church folk want to judge the world, and the world wants to judge the church. So you got people in the church talking about all the wrong that the people in the world are doing. And I'm going to explain the difference in a few seconds. You want to talk about all the wrong that the world is doing, judging them, talking about them, condemning them, and God hadn't called you to do that. And the reason why God hadn't called you, because you're not going to receive or bring anybody in. If you're not expressing the truth of God in love, you're not going to do anything but turn people away. So that's why the focus is always on love, not on judgment, because that's his seat. He's the only one that can do it and do it correctly. We get all out of line when we start judging because we start talking about folks, right? So likewise, the world will sit there and say, y'all church folk, y'all act worse than some folks in the world. It's some deacons and preachers and they doing all kind of stuff, backstabbing and talking about people. That's why I don't go to that church over there, because they be doing this and doing that. So the world will do that to the church and say, okay, y'all ain't no better. But y'all sit there and faking the funk, acting like y'all righteous, but y'all not. So they'll sit there and they'll do that. But again, this is why I want to bring it home to you, church. Understand this. Both entities are sitting in judgment of one another. And God said to do what? Judge and assess yourself. Look in the mirror. You don't have time to be looking at the speck in somebody else's eye and ignoring the beam that's in your own eye. Keep focused on getting yourself right. I'll take care of everybody else that's doing wrong. Now, you can do like what Jeremiah was doing, and this is how I explain the difference. You don't have to sit there and tell somebody how wrong they're doing. Just show them and introduce them to the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit and let the God's Word convict them. I'm not going to talk about the way you live. Just come to church with me and just listen to the Word and then see how your life changes. I can tell you all the things that God don't like. I ain't going to sit and say, hey, I don't like this. I don't like this. This is what God's words say. So you're not arguing with me. You're only dealing with your own conviction in God's word. This is what God says he doesn't like. And you can go through all those scriptures. He don't like all idolatry. He doesn't like all these, he doesn't like, he hates sin. But I'm not going to call you a sinner. I'm not going to sit there in judgment on you. I'm just going to tell you what he doesn't like. And then let the Holy Spirit work with you and change you. I'm not going to try to change you. I can't do it. I don't have the power and anointing to do that. All I can do is introduce you to the word and witness to you what the word of God says. And then you go on and you let that deal with you. Amen. So that's how you can keep yourself out of the judgment seat. Just walk in love with people. I love you because God loves you. God created you. God created me. So I'm just going to walk in love. That's the charge and commission I got on my life, to love. So we look at that in this, and that promotes peace amongst one another, right? Now we can sit here and talk in peace. We don't have to be arguing back and forth because I'm coming to you in love. Amen. So there it is. It says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. Verse 14, I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. Verse 15, if your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God. You're pleasing to God when you're walking in righteousness, peace, and joy, and in the Holy Spirit. In this way, it says, it's pleasing to God and receives human approval. Verse 19, let us therefore make every effort, do your best, give your best to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. That's love. Amen. So you want to make sure you're conducting yourself and in a way that's going to lead to peace, because if we're peaceful, we can talk. I can hear you, and you can hear me. If I'm walking with in love, then you can accept that, you can embrace that, because Torn hadn't come into you with hate or judgment. He's coming to you with just love and mutual edification. Amen. Let's turn to Ephesians 4, and we'll pick up verses 1 through 6. We look at that, Ephesians 4, and look at a little further with the doing our best and giving our best to keep this spirit of peace within us. So Ephesians 4, picking up verse 1, I'm going to read from the NIV. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Everybody got a calling. Whatever God's put on your heart to do, that's what you need to do. You don't need to run somebody else's race. You run the race that God has called you to do. You don't have to be envious or jealous of somebody else's calling. You do what you need to do, right? The eye can't do what the foot can do. The foot can't do what the arm can do. Everybody is a member of the body of Christ, has a job, has a calling, has a commission. So Paul, in writing to the church in Ephesians, he says that as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be what? Completely humble and gentle. He's telling you how to be. This is the calling you have. Be completely humble and gentle. What's the opposite of that? Being full of pride and being harsh. So he said, don't be prideful, don't be harsh, but be humble and gentle. Then it says, be patient. So that means don't sit in judgment on people. Be patient with them, bearing one another in love. Same way you want people to be patient with you, you be patient with other people. Amen. Verse 3 says, make every effort, do your best, give your best to keep the unity of the Spirit of Christ. That means the opposite of unity is division. So God wants us to be in unity in the Spirit, one Spirit, through the bond of peace. Verse 4, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Amen. So that that doing your best, giving your best to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The importance of peace is that's the only way you can reach resolution. Amen. Let's turn to Hebrews 12, verse 14, 15 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Verse 15, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So there, church, again, living in peace with everyone, being holy, and the way you are holy is when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, holiness dwells in you. That's the only way you can be holy is by having Jesus Christ in you. Amen. So now when you have that in you, verse 15, when you have that in you, now you're trying to make sure that no one else falls short of that grace that was given to you. I did wrong, but because of the Lord in my life, now I can be righteous. Now I can be holy. Now I'm going to make sure no one else falls short of that very grace that was given to me. And I'm not going to sit in judgment on somebody else. Oh, I did a bunch of wrong. What if all my skeletons were out? So I'm not going to sit there and make someone else feel bad about their life. All I'm trying to do is draw them in and say, hey, we've all come falling short. We've all done things wrong, but Jesus changed my life and Jesus can change your life. Amen. That's the message that we're giving when we're witnessing. Amen. Let's go on to 2 Peter. Let's close this out. 2 Peter, I'm going to look at verse chapter 1, and then we'll close out in chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 1. Picking up in verse 5, says, for this very reason, make every effort, do your best, give your best, to add to your faith goodness. I think a few Sundays ago I talked about this verse. Add to your faith goodness, add to your belief in Jesus Christ, then start doing goodness. And into goodness, knowledge. Get that knowledge through Bible study and Sunday school. Into knowledge, self-control. Learn how to use the knowledge that you have in Christ. Practice self-control by using the knowledge you've been given. And with the self-control you have, persevere. Endure through this life, this journey. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have trials and tribulations. But be of good cheer. Because Jesus overcame, we can overcome. Amen. And to that perseverance, godliness. Keep Jesus at the center and at the core and the forefront of everything that you do. And so with that godliness, you'll be able to have mutual affection, and that mutual affection will lead to love. Amen. So that's what it's all about, pouring in, making sure that you are doing what God has called you to do. Because in verse 8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, that means you just don't get them on Sunday and Wednesday. You continue to get them in you throughout the week and every day. As you continue to increase in your love walk, you continue to increase your faith, you continue to increase your goodness, you continue to increase your knowledge, you continue to increase your self-control, you continue to increase your perseverance, you continue to increase your godliness, and you continue to increase your mutual affection, you continue to increase your love, if you possess these in increasing measure, they will keep you from being what? Ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So now you have purpose, and your purpose is driven by the passion of Christ. Amen. Verse 9, but whoever does not have them, whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. There you go. From there, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. These are the ones that forget that they are not bound anymore because they have Jesus in their life, but they are accepting or allowing their sin to keep them captive. Amen. Even though they've been set free, even though they've been given knowledge, now they fall victim because they've allowed the enemy to deceive them into believing that they're not worthy of their calling that God has placed on them. Amen. So, verse 10, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort, do your best, give your best to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So continue to make every effort to confirm your calling and your election. Let's close it out. 2 Peter 3, verse 13 says, 2 Peter chapter 13, verse 13. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Verse 14. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. We're not caught up and captivated by this world. I think Sister Kimberly was talking about, you got to be willing when the time comes. If we have to die for this world, we're going to die for it. If we have to walk through the narrow door and the world is going to hold another way, we're going to walk through that narrow path. We're not going to fall along with the world's system. We're not going to follow along with the world's way. We're going to keep doing things the way we know God would have us to do them. And we're going to make every effort to walk that path. So since we're looking forward, because we're looking forward to that new heaven and that new earth, God's way of doing things, we're going to make every effort to do that so that we may be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we want to stand before him. And he say, well done, well done, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. And we can sit there and say thank you and praise you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Father God, for this guidance to help us to do our best and give our best to enter through the narrow door, for doing our best and giving our best to do what leads to peace and mutual edification, for doing our best and giving our best to keep the unity of the Spirit, to do our best and give our best to live in peace with everyone and to be holy, to do our best and give our best to add to our faith, to do our best and give our best to confirm our calling and election, and to do our best and give our best to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you and give you praise, glory, and honor, Father God, for this word today. And we give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.